You're listening to The Conversation. It's about women and by women, but it's for everyone. From the BBC World Service. Welcome to The Conversation, where we take two women with a similar interest or passion living in different countries and get them to share their stories. I'm Kim Chakanetsa, and my guests today compare their work to that of bartenders, psychologists, carers and mothers. They have an intimate knowledge of the cities they work in. They know all the shortcuts and the city's nooks and crannies. They are taxi drivers. And today I'm with two women who've made it their career ferrying hundreds of different people, and I'm sure some interesting characters, from place to place in New York and Stockholm. And as you can imagine, in a job like that, they probably have a tale or two to tell. Iris Javed has been driving a taxi in New York City for 22 years, and Karen Holstrom has been at the wheel in Stockholm for 20 years. And welcome, Karen.
Hello, Iris.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm smiling, I can tell you.
Me too.
Now, Karen and Iris, I'd like to start off by asking you, who would be your fantasy passenger, Iris? If you could pick anyone to get into your cab, who would that be?
Eminem.
The rapper?
Yes.
Why?
I like his raps. Sometimes he speaks the truth of life in his songs.
Karen, who would be your fantasy passenger?
It would be, or rather it would have been, Lady Diana.
Princess Diana, why, Karen?
Well, there's something mysterious about her. Outwardly, beauty, perfect behaviour, but under the surface, just wondering how she was. It would have been nice to see what's behind it all.
Two very different picks there. Now, I'm very curious as to why you picked this particular profession. Why drive a taxi, Karen?
I've always liked driving. When I was young, many years ago, I used to stay in the UK where I was driving a small lorry. And then when I got back to Sweden, my husband suggested once, why don't we drive taxi? What? I couldn't believe him. My jaw dropped.
Why?
I had these preconceived ideas, like most people have. Oh, it's dangerous. You never know who is the customer. But it's a pure service job.
What are the other advantages of being a taxi driver? I guess, for one, you're not in an office all day long.
Sure. You see all these beautiful places in the city, in the suburbs, and even in the countryside. Something unexpected turns up every day. The variety, the freedom. I can stop any time, take a coffee, or I could be busy because there are so many customers. I mean, you can just choose your day of work and your way of work.
It's interesting that Karen says that she used to drive a lorry. She started off with a lorry, then she was a bus driver. Because, Iris, I believe you used to drive an 18-wheel truck.
Yes. Like Karen, I always loved to drive. And I'm 5'9", and I believe that my body was not meant to be behind a desk. I like to move around. I like to be my own boss. And like Karen said, you choose the time that you want to work, the hours you want to work, where you want to work, that's your choice. If you want a vacation, you will park your car, and then when you come back, you still have a job. And you don't have a boss looking behind your back, telling you, do this, do that. And you meet so many interesting people. When I started this business, I thought I had issues. Like, I complain a lot, but after I met people and hear of their problems, you become a better person and not complain anymore. That's what my husband tells me. It changes you, you know. You have to have courage and always have a positive mind because it's not an easy job. But, you know, like I say, I love it and I'm my own boss and that's what I love from it.
Karen, do you agree?
Yes, I agree with so many things that Iris has said. I mean, this thing, it's not for everyone. The main part is not about driving like a sack of potatoes. You're driving people, customers. Mm-hmm. You have to be very, very good at listening two ears and one mouth, as they say. Iris, you said you're driving in the evenings or night. What hours are you actually out working?
I start at 5 in the afternoon or 6, like you said, you know, you could choose your times, but I'd rather that time because there's less traffic and pollution, the trucks are not there, the sun is not hitting your face, so I love that time, and I work from 5 or 6 in the evening to 5 or 6 in the morning, so I work my 12 hours.
I'm not that good. I don't work 12 hours. Apart from Friday night and Saturday night,
exactly,
with the party people. But a normal weekday, I work from something like 3 or 4 in the afternoon till 1 or 2 in the night. But as you say, it's the best time. The traffic is not so heavy. The intensity is not the same as in the daytime. You can get through everywhere, no queues.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so relaxed. And people are nice. They appreciate you driving in a nice way. They don't want to go like a racer car.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I agree with you. The only thing is sometimes you get to deal with these people. They get in your car, they throw up, or they get very nasty, or they start trying to get a fight with you. They curse you. You cannot fight with a drunk person. It's like fighting with the wall, you understand? So you have to, like, try to calm them down. Even though they're wrong, they're always right.
The important thing is that they would think they are right, even
exactly.
if they aren't. You talk in such a way that they feel comfortable and they think they are right.
Exactly.
Well, of course they aren't.
Yeah, like one time I had this passenger, the fare was $5. He gave me a $50 bill. Right? I gave him back the change and he's telling me, what are you doing? And I said, sir, you gave me $50 bill. He's a little drunk and he's telling me, what are you telling me? You think I don't know how to count? Do you know? You think? Yes, he's telling me, I gave you $5 bill. I know what I'm doing. What are you trying to tell me? I'm dumb. I don't know how to count. Am I that drunk? And I'm trying to be honest, sir, you gave me, this is your change. He goes, no. I gave you a $5 bill.
Why didn't you tell him? Yes, you are drunk. Yes, you are a fool.
I did. I tell him, well, yes, you kind of drunk because it's the dollar, it's $5, and hello, and you gave me 50. But he keeps telling me otherwise. So if he doesn't want the money back, you know, what can you do?
A $45 tip isn't bad either.
Give me the numbers to that customer, please.
Yeah. You have to have patience, that's all I could recommend, you know. You have to have patience. And
also, if you have such a nasty or a bad-tempered customer that you don't want to deal with, he's in your car 10, 20, 25 minutes, and then you probably never meet him again.
Yeah.
Compare that to an office job. You've got such a person as a colleague all the time.
Exactly.
How about that?
So it's clear that drunk passengers are no fun at all to deal with. But what other passengers do you try to steer clear of?
I never stop outside a McDonald's restaurant to wait for somebody who would like to drop in. Of course not. They will never eat hamburgers or hot dogs in my car. I mean, listen, imagine the smell of those potato chips, even if they are nice to chew. Freshly cooked, after 10 minutes or after half an hour, the smell in your car, you can never do it. They can eat outside and then they can go with me. I'm not a restaurant.
Well, Iris, we've heard Karen's hard and fast rules about fast food. Is there something that you, or you know, a type of passenger that you would never ever accept in your car?
You can never tell what type of person is getting in your car. That's the problem. And once it's in your car, you have to deal with it. One time I had this passenger that got in my car naked, completely naked. And I didn't realize he was naked. I thought he didn't have no shirt on because I was parked and he opened the back door and I didn't realize it. I didn't see him at all. And he got in my car. I looked through the back mirror. I saw him without a shirt. And when I looked back, I realized that he had no clothes.
And what was the explanation?
So I asked him, excuse me, where's your clothes? And he tells me, I don't know. And I go, what do you mean you don't know? So how are you planning to pay the ride if you don't have no clothes, no wallet, no nothing? He goes, I'm so sorry. I don't know where my clothes is. I woke up like this. I was drunk and I fell asleep in the street. And when I woke up like this. So I didn't know what to do. He was too drunk to tell me the address. I knew he wasn't going to pay. So I didn't know what to do. So what, the only thing that went through my mind is, I told him, listen, can you do me a favor? Can you get me some coffee on the deli? And I'll give you $5. Just go get me a coffee. He goes, but I'm naked. I go, I know. You got in my car naked. So I don't know how long you've been naked walking in the street. It won't be a problem. So I actually gave him $5. And when he came out of the car, I left. I hated the idea that I left him like that. But what was I supposed to do? If I didn't know him,
well,
where he was going.
What could you do? I've not had a naked customer, but you never know. One of these days.
Yeah, be prepared, woman. Because,
yes.
In this kind of job, you never know who you're going to get in your car. You never know. Yeah, you have people that get in and they're so drunk and they fall asleep. And like, hello, hello, please wake up. I even have to call the police for the police to go through their clothes. Because, you know, I don't want to go through their body without a policeman in front. It's things that you have to deal with in this job. But still, you know, I love it.
Have you been in a situation when you've been in real danger, Iris?
Definitely. I have been mugged with a gun pointed in my head, with a guy that was with a suit and a suitcase, and he looked like an office guy, really nice. And I was surprised, shocked that he put a gun pointed in my head.
But Iris, if someone's pointing a gun to your head, I mean, what do you do?
The first thing that I did is put my head down, because that's the first thing you do. You cannot look at the face because they get scared that you're going to squeal at them and you're going to identify them in the police and tell them what they look like.
So this person who put a gun to your head, what did he want? Was it just money? Or did he want the car?
No. He gave me a $100 bill, and I usually keep the big bills separately, and my singles, my five and my tens and another side, in the 20s, 50s, and hundreds and another side. And he gave me a $100 bill, so I had to go to my $20, my stash of my big bills, to give him change. And when I did that, that's when he pointed the gun on me.
Wow, how frightening.
Oh, that's so scary. Wow.
You know, this is a job that you go out and you tell God, please give me, my life is in your hand, protect me today. And when you get home, you tell God, thank you for giving me another day, because you never know.
Iris, you've definitely, you know, you mentioned that you had someone hold a gun to your head, but you were also shot. What happened?
I was waiting for light, and all of a sudden I hear like, psh, 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 like it sounded like firecrackers, and it was not the 4th of July. So I felt something hot. The first bullet went through my car. It went skin my forehead, and I felt something really hot, like it's hot water coming down my face. And I hold my face like this, and I looked at my hand, and it was all full of blood. I got so nervous. So I drove. From there, I drove like maybe 15, 16 blocks, and I just stopped, and I got a tissue. But when I got out of my car, I realized I was shot in my legs. Bullet went through one door, went through my leg, skinned the other leg, and went through the fender of my car. A couple of bullets went through the back seat, and two of them got stuck in my back seat. So can you imagine how lucky I was? And the doctor tells me if I were to be less than an inch, like towards the front, I would have gone brain dead, because that bullet would not skin my head. It would have gone through my brain.
Well, that's so scary.
Exactly.
Well, I'd like to move on and talk about one of the roles of the taxi driver, which is listening to people. And I'm sure you must overhear all sorts of conversations, but you must also get people asking you for explicit advice about things. Has this happened to you, Karen?
Oh, yes. As Iris says, you've got the role of being a professional driver, But at the same time, you more or less have to be a mother, a priest, a psychologist. They feel so relaxed because they would probably never meet me again. And they open up in a quite a different way from people they know. So, of course, I've been asked advice, thinking of a guy many, many years ago, a young man. He was confused. He'd been out partying, and this girl bartender was so pretty. He was just taken by her, beauty. So he was thinking of her. At the same time, he had been contacted by his ex-girlfriend, and he was at the bar with an old school friend from his young days. And now he had three girls on his mind. What was he going to do? So he asked me, and all of a sudden I was a mother. I don't know if he took my advice or not. When you talk about a taxi driver, people think, oh, she's driving a car. Well, that's just a little part of it. Many years ago, I had this old lady. Actually, I had many old people. And some of them were so lonely. Their children had grown up, had their families. They were busy, had not time for their old parents. And they were trying to tell me their life story because I was the only one listening.
Aww.
So a trip on 20 minutes, they would try to tell me about themselves. Oh, it's so heartbreaking in a way. And one lady, she was so keen. She said to me, are you hungry? Of course, I wasn't hungry. They said, no, I just had my dinner. No, no, I know your taxi drivers are always hungry. So I always take a banana for you. So she gave me this banana. Oh, no. Oh, wow. That's so kind of you. I was really starving, I told her. The tragedy of getting old and getting lonely.
Lonely, yeah.
That's really heartbreaking.
Yes, yes, I agree. I agree. I get a lot of customers like that, too.
Has anyone ever asked you for advice, Iris?
Yes, all the time. Girls get in my car and they be crying, they be asking me advice, how to deal with their relationship. Yeah, that happens a lot. Especially when you're a woman, they feel more comfortable in talking to you, asking you questions, and guys open up on you like nothing. They'll tell you your life story like in 15, 20 minutes, you could hear their life stories.
And don't they say to you as well, as they say to me so many times, oh, a woman, wow, now I can relax.
Oh my God, you get those things too, I do too.
Oh yes, that's yes. Very common.
Yeah, they go, oh my God, a woman. I never had a woman taxi drivers. Ooh, oh my God, they get so excited.
So why do you think there are not more female taxi drivers? Because it's a job which you can make your own hours. It seems pretty flexible to me. So why do you think there are not more women?
I don't have no idea. I was the first woman driver in my company. I was number one. Now there's about 30 or 40 of them. But they usually work daytime. They don't like night times. But I definitely suggest women to go out there and to become a taxi driver. It's such a fun job. And why not? I had the idea, and I always wanted to have an idea to open a company of women drivers, only women drivers, and call them the Pink Panther car service. You understand? And because a lot of people feel more comfortable and as a woman driver than a man, especially men that are drunk. When they're drunk, the base calls me and says, Iris, listen, we have a situation. Do you want to pick up this person? Because he got into an argument with another driver. And I say, okay, no problem. And I get there and I go, hi, sweetheart. And hi, baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. They like melt. Oh, my goodness. Hi. And then the frustration goes away. For some reason, male driver with a male drunk passenger does not click. They usually
You're
have
quite
the girl
right.
to do that.
But
yeah.
But most people, or at least many, very, very, very many people, have so many preconceived ideas about taxi driving. They think it's dangerous, scary, people run away. I mean, they think it's like in the movies.
But that happens.
The taxi in the movies, it's always bad, isn't it? And people think that's the reality we're working in. But of course it can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's usually a very relaxed and interesting job, giving service to people.
Iris, are there any passengers that stand out for you that you remember for one reason or the other?
Yeah, I have a couple of girls. They usually call me personal because they had got into bars and they have woken up in a place they don't know with who and very worried and crying. They got into my car and I like tried to tell them, you know, it will be okay, just be careful. And I got them as a regular passengers now, and we're very good friends, and she recommends people, especially women. And, you know, yes, I do have a lot of memories from a lot of different people that call me now as regular clientele.
Well, I'm impressed, Iris. The things that you do to help people, you really are a hero.
I do take care of because I understand I have a daughter, and I would love a taxi driver to take my daughter home and make sure she's upstairs, not just to drop her off, because you don't know if she has her keys. You don't know if going upstairs to somebody waiting in the hall. You know, these things, I couldn't just leave a passenger when she's a little drunk, you know. So, yes, I do that a lot with women in New York.
Now, Iris, I believe you travel with a special companion.
Yes, I have a Shih Tzu. Her name is Lulu. I've been taxi cabbing with her since she was a baby. She goes in my shoulders, and everywhere I go, everybody knows me because of Lulu. And she's very friendly. People love her. It's like they will call me and they'll say, make sure you bring Lulu with you. I'm like, do you want to see me or you want to see Lulu? But yeah, and in occasions and Christmas, I dress up with her nice dresses and I do ponytails on her. She's always with me. She's my companion.
That's really nice when people appreciate it.
Yeah, they do. They do. When kids get in my car and they're jumping up and down, they don't want to be... They'd see Lulu and Lulu will go back there and keep them calm and in their seats, and I'll be able to get them home without any problems or no arguments or anything because they are very busy with my dog. So in other words, my dog will help me out in my job.
I believe for Halloween, you and Lulu got dressed up.
Yes.
What did you dress up as?
She was a bee and I was the flower. So it was funny because I always carry her on my neck when I'm driving. So it looked really funny. People loved it. All the time, every year, we dress differently. Karen, have you ever had any passengers that just run away without paying you?
Yes, of course I have. But it's very, very rare. I think on average, perhaps one a year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. It's not nice when it happens.
Mine's once a month.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you already know when they don't want to pay because they're telling you, stop here, stop there, turn there. And they like playing around with the switch, like from the door. So they want to open the door and just leave. But you control your switches, so you lock them in. And I tell them before they leave, I said, listen, I know you guys are planning to run. If you guys don't have no money, then fine. You should have told me, listen, I need a ride to my house. I have no money to go. Can you please take me? And I would gladly do so because I will never leave anybody stranded. But don't take me as trying to be smarter and slick than me and just run away because I don't like that. And I tell them right out. And they like be looking at each other like weird, like, oh, my God, I don't believe she just said that. And I just open the door and then leave them go.
They didn't expect you to say that. Well, I'm full of admiration for you, Iris, really. We live in the same job and it's such a different world.
Yes, it is. But sometimes, you know, I'd rather have your world than deal with this crazy world here. But yeah. But you know, it's fun. It's fun. You know, you get to learn and you get to like learn experience and you get to know people more, and you know, anyway, you know, life is short, so just have to enjoy it.
I'd like to know about your ambitions for the future, Iris. You mentioned starting a cab company owned by women, or just women. Is that something that you're thinking about seriously?
Yes, I am. But the hard part is getting women to join me, not only daytime. I would like to find women out there that are willing to work at nighttime, because you cannot open a car service if you only have two or three women that only want to work at nighttime and none the rest want to work at daytime. That doesn't go that way, you know. As busy as it's daytime, it goes at nighttime too, and sometimes even more. It's hard to find women that are willing to work at nighttime. It's hard. They have them, but it's just hard to find them.
Karen, what are your ambitions for the future?
Not the same kind of ambitions. I would rather recruit more women as colleagues, to train as a taxi driver and be my colleague.
Sounds good. Well, Karen and Iris, thank you both very, very much.
Thank you. This is so interesting to hear about your life and work, Iris.
And I'm so happy that we are in the same business, and I wish the best of luck that you get your girls to recruit with you and have more friends as a woman driver.
Yeah.
Iris Jevard and Karen Holstrom have been my guests today. Iris is based in New York and Karen works in Stockholm. Both have been taxi drivers for over two decades. Thanks for joining us on The Conversation, and thank you for listening. You've been listening to a download of The Conversation from the BBC World Service. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, please go to bbcworldservice.com/podcast.